This is the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Happy snowy Super Bowl Sunday. Ready to talk to you at 1-800-919-3776. Yes, it's the Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. Settle in. We'll take you till 6 o'clock, get you right up to the Super Bowl. And then, if you're not Super Bowled out, you can switch over to my man Chris Carlin. He's on Instagram, and he'll take you up from 6 o'clock until the Super Bowl. And we begin with breaking news. The Knicks, you've been hearing about it. It's been spoken about. It's been talked about. It is now done. Derrick Rose is a New York Knick. He is headed back in exchange for Dennis Smith Jr. and a 2022 second-round pick. So, once again, as you have been hearing and you've expected it, Derrick Rose is heading back. Here's the positive to that. It gives Julius Randle another consistent scorer. And that's something that clearly, when you even talk about today's game, it's something that the Knicks desperately needed. Here's my concern about that. What does it do to the minutes that you've been giving Emmanuel Quickley off the bench? What does it do to the minutes with Elfrid Payton? Not so much concerned about that. But I'm really concerned about what this does for Emmanuel Quickley. How he will, does this mean his minutes are going to drop? How would that affect his ability and his improvement? So these are the things I'm concerned about. But listen, it is something that if you're looking for this team to make a move offensively and you figured that they were going to do something like that, and once again, you have another player. Taj Gibson was brought back, a player who's familiar with what Tom Thibodeau likes to do, okay, and that style of defense and his idea and how to help him get his message across in the locker room. And obviously, Derrick Rose from the offensive side can do that as well. Once again, and listen, you didn't give up a lot. Dennis Smith Jr. was in the G League. All right, so, and now that deal is just, forget about it. It's done. It didn't hurt you as much as it could have, right? Because you figure, okay, Kristaps Porzingis, he goes to Dallas. He's going to win multiple championships, tag teaming with Luka Doncic, who had a tremendous game last night, right? Him with 40-plus points and Steph Curry with 50-plus points last night in the Saturday night outstanding game that was on our sister station ABC. Tremendous game, right? Tremendous game. So you figure, though, KP's down there. He's going to help him. They're going to be challenged out of the West. The same issues that Kristaps Porzingis had with the Knicks are the same issues that he's had, really, in Dallas. And that's been staying healthy. When he's healthy, he's obviously been a fixture. He's obviously made an impact. He's helped Luka Doncic. Hasn't been, you know, as healthy as much as they had hoped. And so that's a concern for them. So that deal now, you didn't get the second, you couldn't get a free agent to take the second max money. All right. And you didn't get results from Dennis Smith Jr. So that turns out bad, but not as bad as it could have been. And then the other part of this, which I'm concerned about, is what does this mean for R.J. Barrett? Now, I know there are many of you who don't think R.J. Barrett is that good. There are many of you who don't think he's that athletic. There are many of you who don't think he's not going to be much better than what he is now. But if you're going to, what are you going to do? Are you going to start him? Are you going to start Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton? And take Payton and take Rose off the ball and make him a two? Is this a scenario where you have R.J. Barrett at the three? I mean, are you bringing R.J. Barrett off the bench? I mean, so this rotation, you're now very guard heavy. So I'm a little concerned about that. Also, what does this mean for the guards on your bench? Are you now looking to move Austin Rivers? What does all this mean? It's fascinating. I want to hear from you. At 1-800-919-3776. 1-800-919-ESPN. As far as the game was concerned, this was a pretty impressive game. And I will say this about the Knicks, who, even though faltered late, and you kind of knew they would because they played and their starter minutes are so top-heavy, and they just played yesterday in a very good game against the Portland Trailblazers. But what the Knicks saw today is their defensive intensity at the next level. And even though he was not tremendous, I mean, 3 of 11, 34 minutes, Jimmy Butler, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Him being back made a difference. I'm going to say this to you, and it's not breaking news. If Jimmy Butler is still injured, the Knicks win this game today. I just feel they do. Jimmy Butler's return made a major difference for this Miami Heat team. Because you not only his points, but the fact that he sets a defensive intensity for them. And also, you have to, you know, defend him. You have to account for him. And now, with him, and as I mentioned, 17 points, 11 of 12 from the free throw line, but he really gets them going defensively. And as good as the Knicks have been defensively, and they have been really good, Miami is that next level up. And their intensity, how they perform, their well coached, their communications on double teams, that and their zone that stretched the Knicks' offense, pinned them almost to the sidelines as far as starting their offense, double teaming the dribbler at the top of the circle. Miami is a very well coached team, a very well coached team. And you look at them being 9-14, and you say, oh, you know, they're struggling. Yeah, they're struggling, but look at the injuries they had. No Goran Dragic. Butler's been out. They've had a number of other players out. They've had issues with COVID. This is a team, remember, that went to the NBA Finals last year and gave the Lakers all they could handle. So this team is for real. And it's just unfortunate, in one sense, for the Knicks that they ran into that Jimmy Butler returned. Here's the other thing. The Knicks, while they defended extremely well, look, that third quarter, they only gave up 22 points, but they scored 18. They went ice cold in the third quarter. Ice cold. Both teams went cold. They went ice cold. And so that's the other thing that you look at and you say, okay, maybe this is behind Derrick Rose. You got another scorer. You got somebody that can go to the basket. You got somebody who's okay defensively. It's a move I understand. I'm just a little concerned as to what the effects will be in your guard rotation. As I mentioned earlier, what does it mean for RJ Barrett? What does it mean for Emmanuel Quickley? What does it mean for Elfrid Payton? Are you starting Payton and Rose and taking Rose off the ball? And then when you bring moves in, you move Rose over on the ball, and then you can bring some other Barrett in. Maybe Barrett now becomes your first guard in off the bench. What does this mean? What do you think of the deal? Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN. Super Bowl Sunday. Talking Knicks at 1-800-919-3776. Also, you can weigh in via Twitter at Hardesty ESPN at ESPNNY98_7FM. Getting your thoughts about the Derrick Rose trade as Derrick Rose is coming to the Knicks in exchange for Dennis Smith Jr. and a 2022 second round pick. Like the deal or not? Let me know. 1-800-919-3776. Spike is in a snowy Garden State jersey, and he joins us next on 98.7. Hey, Spike.
Right now. You got me?
I got you, Spike. What's up, my friend?
Okay. I'm looking at the Knicks payroll, and you know who the fifth highest guy in the payroll is right now? I won't put you through the drill with your memory. It's Joakim Noah. Is he next? He's the stretch for, you know, they stretch them out.
Boy, did they stretch them out.
they stretched them out. He's got another 2 years at 6.4. Now, here's the way I feel about it. First of all, it's great to talk to you and enjoy the Super Bowl. I knew about this about 20 minutes before Tibbs refused to answer the question. It wasn't very well kept. Mm-hmm. We are a little guard heavy, but the quality's pretty bad. Now, you know how I watch a game like you watch a game. And I had a feeling they would fold in the second half. And it manifested itself with very bad fundamentals. I could see you watching this game when they didn't box out. It must have eaten your guts up.
Oh, so bad.
Right.
It's so bad.
So, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. No, no, no. It's a team effort. They just don't box out. And when Jimmy Butler came in, I got about half a foot of snow also. I'm very careful. And I told my wife, Susan, I said, here's your closer. This is what you need in this league. And it's you can't look at the stats. You just got to look at the momentum of the team and how beautifully he plays the game. Yep. It's the team's just lifted up. We don't have that guy yet. I got some calls yesterday. Well, Elfrid Payton scored 20 points two games in a row. I said, please, Elfrid Payton can't shoot. Okay, you don't need another guard who can get to the middle of the floor and penetrate and can't shoot. So now we got Derrick Rose back, and Derrick Rose can't shoot, but Derrick Rose is a good ball player. Mm-hmm. I think, Barrett, I don't think he felt well today. I heard some whispers that he might not have felt well today. Certainly didn't play well, and so he sat him down. And you're not going to beat the better teams, and they're one of the better teams in spite of the record.
No question.
Yeah, and you can't keep giving shots. This is a great coach. This guy's a great coach. Boy, Riley knew what he was doing. I hate to admit that. Yeah. But listen, they got rid of Mr. Smith. I wish him no harm. I'm sure he's a nice young fella, but he was a bomb. But we got rid of Porzingis, who I'm sure if my nephew's going to call, albeit he's probably very busy today. If he's not, he's in trouble. But I would think that, you see some things after the second game, Mitchell with foul troubles, rotations. Larry, I'll leave you and let the other guys call because it's a short program, but I'd like to hear you say it when I get off. Not boxing out eats my guts up.
Yeah,
please comment on that and have a great day.
You too, Spike. Thanks for the phone call. Listen, I'm an old-school fundamental guy. And I understand, about defense. I understand about three-point shooting. But there's staples of a game. There's staples of every sport that if you don't do, you lose. Free throw shooting. You have to really take advantage when you go to the free throw line. Okay? You really have to do that. And so when you leave those points off, when you leave those points at the free throw line and you miss free throws, you end up losing games, turning the football over. There's fundamental games, not throwing the ball cross court, okay, that I've seen recently over, and it happened today. I forgot who did it. It happened today. I think it was Julius Randle. But it happened today, and this happened on a couple of occasions. People throwing the ball. No, you never throw the ball across court because it's got to travel too far and too many hands can get at it. You can't throw it cross court at an angle. All right? And not boxing out. And I understand about you want to out-jump people. I understand, I got hops. I get it. I didn't have a whole lot. I was okay. I didn't have a whole lot of hops. Okay? So when I was coming up, when I played, if you didn't box out, you didn't play. You got to keep somebody off the backboard. If they jump over you, usually it's a foul because you have position. It's about getting position. And it's not easy when you're shifting and going out and trying to move and double teaming and you lose your spot. I get it. When they ask you to double team and your man gets beat and you come out to help him. But then that's when that communication's got to get in and somebody's got to take care of that guy and then you go back and get the other guy. The second chance rebounds make a difference. Offensive rebounding is key. That's why, Mitchell Robinson is among the leaders in offensive rebounds because he does a good job boxing out and being around the basket. And so that's what you need to do to be successful. These are the little things that help you win games. They just do. And sometimes you forget about it. You say, there you go, nitpicking. Get off my line, get off my line. No. It's the little things. These are the little things that really, really help you out. It's worth sometimes six, seven points, okay? And it helps you on your break. We know how this Knicks team is. We know that, and it will get a little better with Derrick Rose being here, but still, it's a team that doesn't shoot the ball very well consistently from outside, and it's a team that relies on their defense, turning the ball over, getting some easy buckets on the fast break, and when you're able to rebound and keep your opponent to one shot, that helps you get the ball up the court, set up before their defense sets up, and makes your shots and your shot selection just a little bit easier. You know, so that's why Bruce, Spike was talking about that. And that's what offensive rebounding and boxing people out. That's why it's so important. 1-800-919-3776. Colm is in the Bronx. Hey, Colm, you're next on 98.7.
How you doing, Larry? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, C?
So really quick, I like the trade. I don't think we gave up virtually nothing for still a productive player.
That's for sure.
And I think the Knicks are going to compete for that, you know, 7-10 range. So I think it looks good. But overall, I think he immediately should take over those Austin Rivers minutes. I don't think Tom Thibodeau should extend past a 10-man, you know, rotation. But Austin Rivers is the picture of inconsistency. Mm. And, you know, Derrick Rose can take that spot and immediately give you consistent buckets what he's not producing. Mm. But again, you know, Alfred Payton's still going to be there. The offense and everything about the team is still geared around him right now as the starting point guard. But eventually, Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley have to take over those minutes, and they have to phase Alfred Payton out. And also, eventually, Toppin's going to start playing more, and they'll start phasing Noel out, and they can play more Toppin-Randall combination of a little smaller lineup. I'm looking forward to that.
You know, Colm, thanks for the phone call. That's an interesting point about Toppin, and that's one of the positives out of this loss tonight, was that he seemed to be more aggressive. He seemed to be around the ball more. That's something that I've been waiting for, as far as waiting for him to take that next step, to get comfortable. And I understand with the injury, it set him back, clearly, and he's been working hard from what I've been hearing. He's been doing the extra things and working and looking at film and working on this jumper and doing extra stuff, which is great. But it's not the same as when you're into the game and trying to feel your way. And Emmanuel Quickley has, look, taken the league by storm, and you're starting to see, right, adjustments to him already. You're starting to see where teams are trying to keep him out of the middle because he's so effective. And I like that he has made the adjustment on those things where, you know, you saw him today dribble a little bit and go to the alley or pass the ball a little bit more, not trying to force it. They won't let him at the three. They're trying to keep him out of the lane, so he's making that adjustment. And hopefully Toppin, as he gets more and more confident, will be able to give them more production off the bench.
Girl, stop wasting time. I believe there's something on your mind. Tell me.
I'll tell you what's on my mind.
Just stay on the line. I believe.
Did the Knicks make the right move in reobtaining Derrick Rose? That's our question at 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY98_7FM. Derrick Rose headed back to the Knicks in exchange for Dennis Smith Jr. and a 2022 second round pick. I will say this. You didn't give up much more. I'll say this. You gave up a player who is not playing and a second round pick next year. 2022, okay. And what it does is it stabilizes your offense. It gives you another offensive player that can help Julius Randle. It also, and this might be the most important thing it does, is it also keeps him from dribbling the basketball so much. Okay? When he feels that he needs to just take over, it helps him. So he's got another scorer out there. And it just, look, it adds to your depth. There's a number of positives. My only concern with it, to be honest with you, is just what does it do to my young guard rotation? What does it do? Does Barry move to the bench? Does it affect Quickley's minutes? You know, what's up with Austin Rivers? You know, I mean, those are the things that I'm concerned about. But otherwise, on the surface, I understand what the Knicks are trying to do. Their team has overachieved, all right? They are 11-14 after 25 games, which is not bad. I don't think folks expected them to be that good. 11-14 after 25 games. And you've been in just about all these games. So now you add another scorer who is, listen, a former MVP. We realize he's not of that caliber now, but he's still a player that can get to the basket, still a player that can hit the mid-range jumper. He's not a three-point specialist, although his numbers have gone up this year with the three. But the bottom line is he's another scorer that teams have to respect when they play you. And hopefully that will lead into some more wins. Back to the phones to hear what you have to say. Butch is in Jersey. Hey, Butch, you're next on 98.7.
How you doing? First of all, about this tomfoolery of Obi Toppin possibly playing the five, I can't imagine a lineup with Randall at the four and Toppin at the five defensively. As far as Rose is concerned, he will lead us to more wins. Getting rid of Dennis Smith Jr. and another second-round pick who's bound for the G League won't hurt us. But what does it do to Quickley's development? The scenario you painted where Barrett doesn't start, I hate it. So unless they're cutting Elfrid Payton, who Rose is a much better version of, who also can't shoot from the outside, unless they're cutting Payton, I don't like the minutes reduction for Quickley or Barrett. I think it goes against what is our actual mission statement. Is it getting every last win or developing these players?
Well, it's an interesting point, Butch, and thanks for the phone call. I think what it does is it does a little bit – it does what you say. It helps them to win now, and I guess if you want your young players to feel what it's like to be in a race, a playoff race near the end of the season, that helps them develop, then that's a positive thing too, because that's what this could lead to. In an expanded playoff situation where you're looking at 10 teams getting in and, you know, 9 and 10 in a play-in situation, but still, you know, you're looking to see who's going to win to play that eighth seed, you know, to play meaningful minutes late in games, late in the season is a big thing for young players. That's great. That's great. And so from that standpoint, it's good. It's just a matter of how will Thibodeau manage these minutes? And I think you've seen enough from Quickley to continue to play him minutes, although I have noted that his numbers have gone down the past two games. But to be fair, Elfrid Payton has played better. So, you know, and I think defensively, there were some spots where Quickley had began to struggle a little bit. So I think it's a combination of those things with matchups. But I still think, and that once again, you're echoing my concern as well. That's what I'm concerned about. How does it affect Quickley's minutes? What does it do to your starting rotation where you've started, you know, RJ Barrett? Does that mean Barrett's now coming off the bench? Or are you, because, I mean, look at what you had today with your starters. And, I mean, come on, Reggie Bullock was outstanding today. I mean, he had a tremendous first half. I mean, he was 7 of 17 for the game. He was 5 of 5 at one point. And they were all from 3. So I don't see you sitting him down. You're not sitting Robinson down. You're not sitting Randall down. Unless you're sitting Payton down, then I don't know that you're doing that. I think you're probably starting Payton, taking Rose off the ball. Then what happens is you may bring in either Barrett. You may bring in Barrett for Payton and put Rose on the ball. And then what you could do is at the start of the second quarter, you could bring in Quickley. And then you circle back around. So that's just speculation. But, you know, listen, it's interesting, right? Bruce is in Flushing. Hey, Bruce, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bruce. What's up?
Some Nick points and a quick Super Bowl prediction. First, mm-hmm. on the Nick points.
Yep.
I have a Woj bomb for you. Actually, it's more like a hand grenade more than a bomb.
Okay.
But when he announced the Derrick Rose trade, he said there are playoff contenders interested in Austin Rose and want to trade for him.
Austin Rivers.
Now, Austin Rivers, yeah, Austin
mm-hmm.
Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on SNY website, they also said there was a playoff team interested in Payton, but Payton has a no-trade clause. So maybe this is a Nick way of saying, okay, Mr. Payton, if you don't want the no-trade clause, you're not going to play. Since we got Derrick Rose, maybe you could accept a trade. So if you get what he gets for Payton and you get what he gets for Rivers, that more than covers what he gave up for Derrick Rose. Now my question to you is, what can we really expect to get for Rivers? Can we expect a number one for Rivers?
If it is, it's going to be a low one, for depending on where you know, where he goes. If it's a playoff team, which would make sense, because he's got, you know, he's got experience. He's a sound guy. He's inconsistent. He's been inconsistent this year, but he's played well over his career. You know, maybe you can get a low one, a high two for him. But once again, if you're you're just, you know, continuing to add depth and getting your, you know, getting your young players moving, I think it's a good move. And as you mentioned, for Rose, you gave away nothing for Rose. Nothing. Your second round pick, you know, who knows what that could be. And obviously, I mean, Dennis Smith Jr. was in the G League, so that says all you need to know.
Yeah, as far as the Knicks play, this is driving me bananas. Forget about today, because today there were, I counted at least 5 or 6 cross-court passes. But as I watch the Knicks all year, they do it all year long, like cross-court passes. Not once during the game, but 3, 4, 5 times during the game. Now, Thibodeau is such a great coach. How do you allow this to happen?
Well, I think it's something that he constantly works on. It's something that he discusses. You can see his frustration on the sideline, and it's something that players just end up doing because they feel the pressure of getting rid of the ball, Bruce, and that's something that, you know, hopefully now with a floor general like a Derrick Rose, that will, some of that will be eliminated, but, you know, we'll see.
And as far as the Super Bowl, I can't debate by a field goal, and if he's healthy, because I know he missed practice a couple of times this week, I think JPP Paul, mm-hmm. Is going to have an outstanding game. I mean, obviously, if Tampa Bay wins, Brady will be the MVP. But he's going to have such a good game that people consider him some MVP votes. And this is a game he's been waiting for the last 3 years, ever since the Giants got rid of him. So, Tampa Bay's got the better defense. The better offensive line, and with Kansas City's injuries on the offensive line, I think Tampa Bay's going to pull an upset.
All right, Bruce, thanks for checking in. We'll see what happens. We'll talk a little Super Bowl next hour. We'll be joined by Jay Bromley, our Super Bowl playoff guy, who's been joining us all throughout this past run, so we'll get his thoughts. Up next, for those of you on the line, hold on. I wanted to get some depth. I wanted to expand my thought process about this trade. So, Alan Hahn from Barton Hahn will join us next.
All around the world. To the beach, y'all. Let's go. All around the world. Y'all know. This is.
It's the Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. Getting your thoughts on the Knicks game today. They're lost to the Heat. Also, your thoughts about the Derrick Rose trade. As Derrick Rose is coming back to the Big Apple, and he was obtained in exchange for Dennis Smith Jr. and a second-round pick in 2022. And I wanted to find out about this. So Alan Hahn will join us in a second, and then we'll get his thoughts on what's happening with this. So until we hook up with him, let's go back to the phones. BJ's in Brooklyn. Hey, BJ, you're next on 98.7.
First happened, I was reading all this stuff, and I understood the hate, and I was kind of feeling the hate on the trade too, right? Because it's like Tom Thibodeau once again reunited with Derrick Rose, right? So it kind of just kind of gave that image to it. But the more you think about it, I know everyone's talking about quickly, and we're talking about the playing time and the rotations. The Knicks are not winning the championship this season. We got to get that out of our heads. We're going to be playoff bound. I have a feeling we're going to do that. We might shock some people. We're not a championship team. I think the important piece that we really accomplished with the Derrick Rose trade is what does it do to us for next year? First off, Derrick Rose's money comes off that book, so that gives us, what, $15 million that I think adds to our open cap space for next year. So whether we're re-signing Randall or somebody else. But the second thing to this is, if our players continue to develop, which I think Thibs has shown the ability to do so, if Quickley's hot, he's going to play him. If Payton's hot, he's going to play him, right? If our rookies begin to continue to develop, we clear this cap space and we make the playoffs, when does the image of the Knicks change, and when do we start commanding the attention of some of these superstar players? So we look at this trade as, yeah, it's a Derrick Rose getting back with Tom Thibodeau, and yeah, we're going to make the playoffs, but look at what it does for the Knicks in the future. It gives us a chance to be an attractable space as a well-ran organization, competitive in the field. What do you think about that, Larry?
I agree with you, VJ. Thanks for the phone call. And I think, look, it does several things. It does what you say. But more importantly, it gives your young players, as I just said, the chance to play meaningful games down the stretch and make a playoff run and possibly make the playoffs. That's invaluable experience that a lot of these young players who have been on the Knicks in recent years could only dream of. So that's a great thing in itself. My only concern, and listen, as far as what you gave up for him, you didn't give up anything. You gave up a guy who wasn't even on the team and a draft choice that's only a name. So you gave up no players, really, as far as what's on your roster. And the money comes off, as you said. So I think it's a good deal. My only concern is just thinking about, you know, Quickley's minutes and what it does with the rotation. That's the only concern I had. So when I have concerns like that, I go to the Larry Hardesty hotline and I call for my good friend, Alan Hahn, who you can hear Monday through Friday from noon to 2 with Bart Scott. They call it Bart and Hahn. Alan, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join me today. First of all, I want to know, can I borrow your snowblower because mine broke?
I need a whole bag of ice melt too, huh? we just keep getting this blanket of white these days around here.
It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, yeah. My friend, tell me about this trade.
Well, it's a necessary move. For a couple of reasons. Their bench scoring has been inconsistent. And I think if you're Tom Thibodeau, you're just like Bill Parcells. You like to, when you go to a new place, you bring people that are familiar with your system and how you coach and how you want to play, and you put them in there so that everybody else kind of gets it. And that's what he did in Minnesota. He brought Taj, and Taj comes back here with the Knicks, and then Taj Gibson, of course, I'm talking about, and now Derrick Rose as well. So it fits kind of both of those spaces. Didn't cost you anything. Derrick Rose didn't want to be in Detroit. They really aren't looking to win right now. So it really is an easy thing to do for them. My curiosity, Larry, is whose minutes now does this affect? Because he was already playing a 10-man rotation. So somebody's not going to play now. Who's that going to be?
Exactly. And so couple of things, Alan, and I started to show off with this. What does this do to the starting rotation? Does this mean Peyton starts and you take Rose off the ball? Does that mean Barrett comes off the bench now? And what does that do?
Rose can't start, Larry. He's not at that point in his career. His body doesn't let him play more than about 20, 25 minutes a game anyway. That's what he did last year. He played very well last year. 25 minutes a game, 18 points a game, mm-hmm. A handful of starts. Man, they needed him, but he's really now he's a professional scorer, you know, like Carmelo Anthony, really. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing. He can get you buckets off the bench. He can create for himself, which this team doesn't have enough guys that can do that late in the shot clock. So I just think he's, you know, he fits that mold off the bench. I wonder, does it, you know, and I mean, I know a lot of Knicks fans are probably hoping for this. Does it give them now the option to start Emmanuel Quickley and you just take Peyton out of the entire rotation? Alfred Payton is just tough to watch. Yeah, I know he's mm-hmm. had two good games coming into this one, but he was 3 for 12 in this game. He misses way too many layups, constantly missing layups. So, you know, I just think that if it gives you the opportunity to start Quickley, and then you have Derrick Rose with Burks, you have Austin Rivers as well in the guard rotation off the bench. I think that could be a way they go, but there's a part of me that feels like that won't be it. And instead, it's either going to, you know, I think probably Austin Rivers probably gets affected immediately, and you see if you could play Rose and Quickley together off the bench. Mm.
And would you say, Alan, in final minutes late in the fourth quarter, you want to have Rose on the floor to give Randall another option where he's not the focus guy? We know he's definitely going to get the ball.
Yeah, I think you do find yourself in those scenarios at times that you would want to have a way to have him out there on the floor when you need that kind of scoring to keep the defense honest, somebody that can create for himself. So I do think that there's something there. Yeah, I do think it just gives – look, this offense is the worst in the league. Their defense is the best. Their offense is the worst. So you've got to add offensive pieces to this game, and he's doing so with somebody that also understands the defense and what Tibbs demands from players defensively, instead of having to bring in somebody who's known as a scorer that you now have to teach our principles of defense. Rose already understands it because he's played for Tibbs twice.
Yeah, you know that voice. That's Alan Hahn. And no, you don't have to check your clock. It's not noon. He's joining me on the Larry Hardesty Show. Normally he's on Monday through Friday from noon to 2 with with Bart Scott. You're listening to Hard to State until 6 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN. Alan, some quick hits for you. Obi Toppin, has his play, and we understand that he missed time because of the injury. Has his play been affected by how good Quickly has been offensively when they come in usually together?
It's a great question because, you know, Quickly dominates the ball. And as much as we love Quickly, I think his head's down too much and he misses. I thought today's game, especially, Obi was open a lot because they were so aggressive defensively. They trapped him. This would remind me of the Jeremy Lin game. Remember when Jeremy Lin went down to Miami and got beat up? They just trapped the hell out of him. Same thing, really, was the same thing. Get the ball out of this kid's hands and he can't beat us. And see if he panics. And he did. He just kept backing up away from the trap. And just he missed a lot of what would have been lobs and back doors for Obi Toppin. Didn't happen. So it does affect him, I think. It really does. I don't know if those two are compatible as a point guard, power forward kind of duo where you can play pick and roll and you can see him, you know, like feed as much. He does throw lobs when he gets into the paint, but that's one area of Quickly's game that still needs to develop.
During your spare time, can you run over to the garden? And I just need nothing spectacular, Alan. I just need two interchangeable low post moves for Mitchell Robinson so we can get some points out of him other than the lob. I mean, he doesn't even look to score.
Yeah, but I disagree. I don't think I need him to do that. You know, I don't need that because I need to have him available for offensive rebounds. I need to have him available for in the dunk spot for lobs. He's so active. He expends so much energy defensively. I don't need him to be a post up. He's never going to be Patrick Ewing. You know what they're going to try to develop.
I know.
But they're going to try to develop him into a passer, where you can use him in the high post and try to use him in that way, like the way they did Joakim Noah. But Joakim Noah like occasionally hit like a 15-footer, but it never looked good. You know, he occasionally hit like a sweeping hook. But this guy, his offense all came off of lobs, tips, offensive rebounds. And I think that's where Mitch has got to get to, where he can play that way. But don't ever expect to see him suddenly becoming Akeem Olajuwon out there on the post.
I don't need him to be Akeem Olajuwon, Allen. I just need six. If I could get 6 points from him other than just in the dunk situation, I'd be happy. That's all I'm looking for. I understand that. I do. I just need something else out of him. He just looks like he's just running around just to be. He looks lost sometimes. He needs to be more focused.
Unfortunately, Obi looks like that too. He's just running around setting screens. He's like the old man at the Y that just sets screens for everybody and then rebounds.
So I resemble.
You know why I know this? Because I know this because that was me.
Well, I know it was me. I know it was me. Alan, will Kevin Knox play again?
Well, it's a great question. Well, he'll play again. For whom is the question? That's what I wonder. Yeah. Now, if there's an injury, of course, he's next in line as far as the wing position goes. But Burks has played really well. Bullock has played really well. He's not taking Obi's minutes away from him. So right now, he's the odd man out. He is playing literally like right now out on the court playing one-on-one with Frank Ntilikina at the Garden. That is a true story. That is happening as we speak.
Wow. Where will those two guys be at the end of the year?
Great
those
question.
Two particular, that is where will great, they
well,
be?
Two, let's see, there's six. Well, Larry, there's six guys on the roster under that 22 years old or younger. Six of them. Four of them play. Those two are the two that don't. So, you know, you can't play them all.
No, you can't. But, you know, if we know, and we know Tibbs, and we know that he values practice a lot, it's something they're not showing in practice, Alan, and it's probably on the defensive side of the ball for Knox.
Yeah,
not sure what it is for Ntilikina.
Yeah, I can't figure out Ntilikina. Maybe it's where they want him to play. I don't know. But for Knox, it's obviously the defense. He's just one of those guys that the other four guys get really frustrated because he's the breakdown guy. As Chris Canty likes to say, he's the fish. The other team knows it. They go right at him, and there's nothing he can do about it. And it just breaks you down. You just can't afford to have him out there. He's got to get better at that. And the problem is also they don't practice enough. They don't practice enough. So how are you supposed to see things in practice when there's game after game after game? There's not enough time to practice. So opportunity, when he gets it, you got to take advantage of it.
In case folks didn't hear you and Bart this morning from 7 to 9, who wins the Super Bowl?
well, I don't like doing this, but I'm picking it because I'm using my brain, not my heart. I think the Bucks win. I got 37-31. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But I just think that an offensive line for the Chiefs worries me. Mm-hmm. And I just think the defense of the Bucks is, you know, is going to keep Mahomes from putting up like a big number. But I just feel like Bucks offense got a ton of weapons and the Chiefs defense is a bit overrated.
Yeah, it is. There's no question about it. I would love to ask you what you think about, you know, all these offers now for your quarterback, Sam Darnold, but I'm going to save something for your show tomorrow with Bart Scott, and along with the Super Bowl. I'm going to save something for that with you, and so we'll do that tomorrow. Thanks for a couple of minutes, my friend. We'll be listening to you.
Larry, always good to talk to you, Larry. Thanks, man.
You got it.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number two, Sunday edition of the show. Thanks for stopping by. One 800 919 3776. We'll continue to take your Nick calls. Also in this hour, we'll be joined in about 10 minutes or so by Jay Bromley. He'll break down Super Bowl 55 for us, and it's interesting. Kansas City and Tampa Bay, who will take advantage of the mistakes? Because there will be mistakes made in this game. There always are. So we'll break it down and get you ready for that game. Let's head back to the phones. We got some folks weighing in to me on Twitter, so we'll take those as well. Richard's in Manhattan. Hey, Richard, you're next on 98.7.
Larry, I like Derrick Rose. But, you know, I like the way the Knicks were playing. I hate to upset the apple cart, you know? They were playing. They're exciting. They're good to watch. Every game. And Payton was playing good up until today. I mean, the other night against Denver, he had a yesterday, he had a good game against Portland. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope he helps. I guess Rivers is not going to play now.
Yeah. Probably.
But I would not change their rotation now. And Rose, like Alan said, 15 minutes off the bench. Until, you know, I remember when the New York Giants got O.J. Anderson, and they still had Joe Morris. And Parcells did not immediately put O.J. Anderson in the starting lineup. You know, he waited. And, oh, Joe got hurt a little bit. And just O.J. just inched his way in. And I could see that with Derek, but I wouldn't give him a starting position right away. You know, as valuable as he is and as good as he can score, create his own shot. I don't know. I just think the Knicks were playing good. I guess Thibodeau will figure out the minutes. That's all. There's no other way, you know. Hey, Larry, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. At this point now, would you say any of the three big three Nets makes the All-Star team? I don't see it. I don't think either any of the three have played enough games.
I think Durant will make it. I mean, he's leading the votes right now. Durant will make it. Not sure about Kyrie. I think Harden has a chance to make it as well. But
Randall?
Yeah, but definitely Durant.
I would not pick Harden over Randall, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, you got – well, maybe not to start, but – no, I don't know if Randall's going to start either. But I think he – well, maybe – I understand what you're saying, but they don't play the same position. You could still get Harden for backcourt.
He has played well, though. You're right. So they'll probably take Harden and Durant then.
Yeah, I would think so.
They can't take all three. There's no way all three. They're going to have a good record close to .500 by the All-Star break. There's no way you can take three guys from one team. I don't care how good they are.
Yeah, you're probably right, Richard. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, Larry, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, we'll see. But and then again, you know, the other issue is, I know you say they'll probably be .500, but I mean, you know, they've really struggled in the games where all three of them have not played. They've struggled in some games that all three of them have been available. But in a lot of the games that they've had, you know, it's because one's been missing. And yesterday, they missed two guys. And, you know, listen, Philadelphia is one of the top teams in this league. So for you to go against them and you don't, especially lacking height and physicality up front, that's to deal with Joel Embiid, that's not an easy thing to do. Artie's in Brooklyn. Hey, Artie, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry, how's it going?
What's up,
you
Artie?
Know, when I hear the Rose rumors, I was like, for what? And then I guess it would only make sense if, like, Peyton's play, you could trade him. The same thing with Randle. Like, when he was playing really well, when he first started playing, I was like, trade him now before. And now you're talking like he could be a part of a three, you know, like one of the big three, that if you could somehow get Beal for just draft picks, this team could be a playoff team. But then again, you can't have Randle playing with your number one pick. It doesn't happen. So once you drafted Obi, you had to make concessions that you're going to trade Randle sooner or later. So, I mean, this team, you want them to go to, you know, to make the playoffs in the whatever, and you know they're going to be knocked out. But with the young guys, not with Derrick Rose and Randle being your key guys leading you the way, or Peyton. So, I mean, if he's going to take away minutes from Barrett, and you're putting Barrett on the bench, he was your third pick. How are you putting him on the bench for Rose?
Well, here's the thing, Artie.
And here's the other lesson. In this,
yes.
I'm sorry, Larry, but in this game, the way that the NBA is playing, no matter how good the guy is, a great quality and good defense, whatever, if he can't shoot, don't pick him. That's what comes down to. Barrett's great, but he can't shoot.
Yeah. Well, he's gotten better, Artie. I will say this about him. He's gotten better. And the one thing I'll say, and speaking with Alan just assured me that, listen, with Derrick Rose, because my thinking was, I'm thinking Derrick Rose moving into the starting rotation. Well, Derrick Rose is not going to start. He's going to be a guy coming off the bench. So don't worry about it. Barrett's safe. All right. The thing that's going to be interesting, though, that you mentioned is what's the deal with Peyton? Because obviously the minutes are going to cut into Peyton's minutes, and it's going to cut into Quickley's minutes, and probably Austin Rivers. So thanks for the call, Artie. I guess it means that either Rivers could be moved, or Peyton could be moved, even though I know he has a no trade, but you know, maybe, you know, it's a situation where it's an upgrade and he gets moved, you know, to a team that maybe he could be involved with, that's a little better team than what the Knicks are. But I don't know. I mean, that's the interesting thing. For right now, what it does is it gives them some more firepower off the bench. It gives them some more scoring, some more options to score. And I think late in games, in the fourth quarter, you can run your bench where you can find a way to have, as Alan mentioned, where you can find a way to have Quickley and Rose and Randle on the floor at the same time. Now, here's what I'll say, Artie. Remember, Randle can be... he's done at the end of the year. Okay, so you don't have to renew him. You can keep him, or you can see where you are. The way they're playing right now, if they continue to play this way, you're not going to move him during the season because you want them to get to that postseason. And then in the offseason, you figure out how far you went and what the other options are, and you'll make that adjustment then. Because Rose's salary comes off the book at the end of the year anyway. It's just really a quick it's a quick stopgap to get you going. Omar's in Brooklyn. Hey, Omar, you're next on 98.7.
As Alan has said, that he's coming from the bench. He's not starting. He's coming in for those 4, 5, 6 minutes that happen in third quarter stretches, that when Julius Randle goes to the bench and nobody can buy a basket. That's why he's coming there, so that a person who can score by himself, or he can create a shot for somebody else. That's why he's coming in there for. He's not a defensive presence. He's a very good offensive player and who can score by his own. He's a proven scorer, and he's scoring at will in Detroit. I'm watching Detroit. I have a NBA pass. Secondly, Julius Randle, we have a team option on the third, 1 year on the Julius Randle next year. We can take 1 year option on him. If he continues to perform like that, we will have one more year and look at him. And if he doesn't fall in, then we can give him after the following year or in the middle of the next year, if he continue to grow up like that, we can give him. We have a team option on Julius Randle next year. So he's not going to be traded this year. We have a team option. We will get that $21 million team option on Julius Randle this year and keep him if he continues to grow like that. We are not trading him. So the next fan, Iman Quickley, is going to start in next 2 to 5 games. And I'm sorry, I like Alfred Payton, but it is time that Iman Quickley is going to start and Derrick Rose is going to come from the bench. Austin Rivers is going to lose minutes and Derrick Rose is going to come in. Sometimes in down the stretch, they're going to play Iman Quickley, Derrick Rose, Julius Randle. And sometimes they're going to play Bullock and sometimes they're going to play Barrett. Unless Barrett proves that he can hit a big 3-point shot, Otherwise, he has to grow up. He has grown tremendously. I love Barrett. I'm not taking him out. But sometimes if he has to go to the bench to win the games, it's not a big deal. He will grow up. He will become better because he works hard all the time. So yeah. I don't have a problem. He can go to the bench for the closure of the game, and we can win the games, and then he can grow up and start shooting. He's improved tremendously this year already. And Clive said it that he's going to be an all-star next year. So I have no problem with RJ Barrett.
All right, Omar. Thanks for checking in. Wanted to hear from you.
This is 98.7 ESPN.